Thank you very much for joining us on today's episode. We're very excited and happy that you're here. So I just want to do a quick shout out to folks listening up in Canada. We appreciate you guys. We also have some folks over in Russia. So thanks for checking us out and joining us. I also noticed there was somebody else from Colombia that we got some listeners down there. So just want to say thank you so much to everybody for commenting and subscribing. And I just want to say share with your friends. On today's episode, we have a little bit of a deep dive into outdoor audio. We've got some wonderful weather that we've had over the last couple of days, and it's gotten everybody outside. Nobody wants to be inside. Everybody's taking the opportunity to take a walk and sit on the deck and jump in the pool. And I mean, it was 76 degrees here. So I don't know where you're at, but 76 in February is awesome.
For sure. For sure, man. I was actually begging Dan to do this podcast outside, but you know, like wind and stuff kind of messes with the microphone, so we had to go inside.
One of these days we'll do a live show and we'll be outside and it will be the worst show we do. Like, that's, what is that, Murphy's Law? If it can go wrong, like, it will go wrong. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. It'll be the first time that you see something just blow up right in front of our faces.
Yep.
Oh man. So I will say this though, like, I've been to a lot of homes, and I say a lot, I want to say probably somewhere in the range of like 4,000 or 5,000 homes over the last decade or so. And I know you have too. So maybe a great place to start is, what are some of the things that you've seen out there where you just look at and it's just cringeworthy? You're going, I really wish I hadn't seen that, or you really shouldn't do it that way. anything like that come to mind?
I hope that you have 4 hours, because once I start.
Go. Let's just get to it.
You know, I mean, I'm going to strictly keep it to audio, because you could say a whole nother thing about TVs outside, which we've covered in an earlier episode, but it's kind of the same thing. I've gone to, properties where they have kind of this shelter. This is one of the ones that's just kind of popped into my head. They had the shelter with this beautiful fireplace that was built in the center of it. And it was, they had these custom tables built. It was beautiful. And then next to the fireplace, they've got this big TV mounted over the fireplace. It was not outdoor rated, covered in dirt and dust, and a bird's nest was built behind it. And just sitting there on the stone hearth was an AV receiver wired out to two Polk audio speakers that looked like a woodpecker had gone at them. Like, they were in rough shape. And I was like, I'm like, are we looking at replacing this? He's like, oh no, you're out here to look at something else. Like, I don't remember what it was. Right. But, like, okay.
That's how you know it's bad. Right. It's like, you know, I could help with this. And they're going, nope, we're going to double down.
And yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not here to shame anyone. I mean, obviously we all can afford what we can afford. This person could afford the best. We'll just put it that way. Right. So when it comes down to it, like, if they would have just put a few extra hundred bucks in, again, excluding the television, we could have got them something that was, you know, outdoor rated and aesthetically disappeared into the space for the most part.
Yeah. Well, and man, I've seen a lot of folks will bring out like their little Bluetooth speaker and, they'll try and pair that up from their phone. Like, I will never forget, my brother did this. And I love him to death, but you know, we wanted to watch a game, and he had the game on his phone, and he's got it paired to the Bluetooth. We were at a park at like a family reunion or something along those lines, and he's sitting there thinking that like it's the bee's knees, and I'm sitting here kind of like in the back of my mind, like, I'm glad to see the game. Like, don't get me wrong, that's fine, but yep, it kind of defeats the purpose of being outside. Yep. Like, we should have just gone to the bar down the street and just watched the game and hung out and did that, you know, instead of trying to do this, you know, sort of like halfway thing. And there's folks, I get it. If it's not your space, that's fine. But when you make that decision to do something that's, you know, a little bit more permanent, you know, screened in porch, or you've got the pool or something like that. Like, you've already invested into the space and the plan is to use it, right? So
yeah,
why would we not just make it part of the plan to do it right? Like,
yep,
it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And if you do a TV, like, don't, this is the other thing, like, even if you do an outdoor TV, I see this a lot. And I've got a client that has this right now, and we've got to go troubleshoot it. But, you know, we have an outdoor Samsung outdoor TV. It's the Terrace. This is a 75-inch. It's a $5,500 television with a Sonos Arc that actually, when we were out there last time, had melted on the back because they don't have a hearth, or they don't have a mantle, excuse me. Oh. And, you know, they have this. They wanted the same thing on both sides, and I was kind of reluctant, like, you know, hey, this really isn't outdoor rated. And, you know, we put it on, they were like, oh, I just want to do that. We don't really use the fireplace. Well, I don't know if the client was, maybe their kids were, but it actually has melted this soundbar.
Oh.
And it actually melted a, luckily we used an outdoor rated surge protector, but it actually melted the surge protector.
Oh my goodness.
Certain plastic pieces of it. So, because it just, they wanted to heat that whole space. So, we're going back out there to replace it. We're going to, you know, go a different direction because we don't want a fire to start, right?
Yep. Well, and I think, too, I mean, you talk about a Sonos Arc, you know, that's a $900 soundbar, right? And again, we'll say it till we're blue in the face. Money is relative, and that's fine. I don't care who you are. Nobody wants to burn $900. I mean, it's just not a thing. You know, maybe if you're a cigar enthusiast or something, then that's maybe a little bit different. But even then, I feel like I'd rather have $900 in cigars than $900 in melted electronics. Like, that's just not a good place to be, I don't think. So,
for sure.
Well, maybe now that, you know, you kind of think about, you know, maybe what not to do, I have one story I want to share very briefly, and it's essentially the same thing. It was an AV receiver that was outside, and the client had built a wonderful outdoor kitchen, and so you have, you know, ice maker and, you know, kegerator, and there's a sink. You go to the next piece to the right, and there's like this little, you know, shelf cabinet area, and they'd put an AV receiver there. And they thought that that was going to be enough. And we're out there, you know, because the audio wasn't working, and they weren't really sure why it wasn't working. And, you know, what do we need to do to do it right? Well, I get out there, and of course, there's all sorts of like bugs, and there's all sorts of little critters that had decided to make their way into that receiver because it wasn't properly sealed, right? Like, it's still an outdoor kind of a space. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, we really shouldn't put any amplifier, and we'll just say it now, any amplifier, be that a soundbar, be that a receiver, be that a Bluetooth speaker, if it can get exposed to the elements, it should not be outside. So, with that in mind, how would you start the conversation and maybe just do kind of a traditional, you know, not a big budget, but we want to do something, right? Mm-hmm. How would you go about designing a more traditional style outdoor system for music?
Sure. So we'll go on the most bare bones, easiest option, right? So if you're going to have a television out there, get an outdoor rated soundbar to go with your outdoor TV.
Yep.
They're pretty inexpensive. They can get up there in price for sure, but they're pretty inexpensive overall. So that's kind of your most bare bones. The next step up, and where I think you're probably going, is, you know, just adding a few speakers. A lot of these spaces are being built, so you're not looking at having to worry about, you know, running the wire or anything along those lines if it isn't there yet, right? So it's something that you can plan for. So when you're building the space, think about audio and, like, hey, if I'm going to be out there hanging out, you know, throw 50 feet of speaker wire out there for, you know, what, 50, 25, 50 bucks, whatever, depending on the quality of speaker wire, I guess, that you do. And at least get some wiring out there, and then throw in a pair of in-ceiling speakers, and you're all set, right? Wire them back inside, hook them up to an amplifier inside, and that's really it.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm glad that you called out to plan ahead, because you know, that's the number one frustration. And it doesn't mean that if you already have an existing space or something like that, that you can't retrowire, because there's always, you know, as they say, where there's a will, there's a way. And absolutely that can be done. You know, let's say you have, you know, dark beams or something like that. You can, you know, get dark, you know, or black colored speaker wire. You know, you can paint things. I mean, there is a way to do stuff even after the fact. A lot of times, you know, we do this, I mean, more often than I care to mention, we'll actually come out of an attic and we'll put some surface mount speakers. And people have seen this before on the back of the deck, and they go underneath the eaves. And this is a really, really elegant, you know, and very clean and great sounding solution as well, because, you know, you got to think about, like, I'm just trying to get some background music. I want to play some jazz or some soft music when we're having a party, or, you know, again, going back to the wire it up to the amplifier inside. If you have a receiver that's running your living room already, that's got a surround sound, five speakers in the ceiling or something like that, that outdoor zone is a perfect transition space for football games, for basketball games. We've got March Madness is coming up. And it's like, yeah, I want to be able to take the game that's inside and take that outside so I can enjoy grilling and eating and hanging out, doing all those things. And so I think it just makes a lot of sense to just do a pair of speakers. Doesn't have to be elaborate, and you'd be amazed, especially, you know, how good the sound is from a speaker nowadays. 20, 30 years ago, admittedly, maybe not great. Or if you've got a 30-year-old speaker, all right, I understand it may not sound awesome. But I am very, very, very surprised. Every time we put in a pair of outdoor speakers, Sonance, Bowers & Wilkins, Definitive Technology, these guys just make phenomenal, phenomenal options. And so it's like, you might as well. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just a little thing to go with that, like, spend a little bit more on your outdoor speakers. I'm not saying spend $1,000, but, you know, even from, you know, walk into a big box store, you know, they're going to have Klipsch or Yamaha or something like that. The Klipsch, I want to say, are like $300, $350 for a pair.
Yep.
Like, for $150 more, you can get Definitive Technologies, you know, AW5500 outdoor speakers. Why should you do this? Well, you go from just a traditional mid-range and tweeter on those clips to the same thing, plus a bass radiator on the other side of the speaker for the Definitive Technology. What does that mean for you? Hey, I said the word bass, kind of like our last episode. It's going to give you more low frequencies and give you a fuller range of sound utilizing the same amplifier. So why not have a little bit better sound for $150 to $200?
Yeah, and I'm glad you called those out. I mean, it's a really, really popular design. I know Bowers & Wilkins AM1s, they have something very similar. There's a radio that moves in the back. And you think about an outdoor space is typically pretty large, right? And so having that fuller sound, you don't have to turn it up as loud. There's nothing more annoying than, you know, the guy who turns his music up real loud and you're trying to have a conversation and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, we're at the club like we were in college. And, you know, maybe that's not the experience that we want. So I couldn't agree with you more, man. Like, it's not that dramatic of a price difference, you know, all things being relative. And if it is that dramatic of a price difference, then you should probably wait until it's not dramatic anymore. Let's just do it right, you know. So
do it right the first time, right?
Yep. It's amazing. All right, well, and we have these down here like crazy. There are screened in porches, beadboard ceiling. Typically it's going to be in like an A-frame design. If it's a new construction, how are you designing that space differently than, say, you would just a pair of surface mount speakers?
Sure. So I mentioned in-ceiling speakers earlier, and I probably jumped the gun a little bit. So if you've listened into our prior episodes, two speakers is good. More speakers is better. So if this is a design, and I'm working on one right now with a client, so they're redoing their porch. They're actually having it screened in, and they want that to be an entertainment space. So if you're designing it, you want to make sure that you don't have to worry about something being too loud, your music being too loud, like you're at the club. So by adding four or doing four or six speakers instead of the traditional two, I can now cover more surface area and fill that space with sound. So if I'm designing the system, we're going to look at the lighting design and typically line up our speakers to go along with the lineup of the lights so we can get the proper amount of audio projection across the space.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned the can lights, because you think about it, and this is something we probably haven't spent a ton of time on, but sound and light both operate as waves, right? So if you can visualize where the light's going to go, you can visualize how sound is going to work in that exact same space. And I cannot tell you how many times a lighting design, right, is going to go through a floor plan, and kitchens are notorious. 6 cans, 8 cans, 13 cans, 17 cans. It's like, why do you have so many, you know, lights in that ceiling? Well, because we want to see what's going on and we want to see it clearly. And I think it's the exact same principle for speakers. We just don't always, get the opportunity to really do it right. And I think that's to the client's detriment, because what happens is if you don't have adequate coverage, well, again, we're turning it up to hear what's going on. And now I've got this blast of sound, right? And it's too much. It's too intense. And it's, well, now I got to turn it down, but I can't hear it. And it's like, well, maybe we should have thought this through a little bit better. So,
sure, sure. And, just to kind of piggyback, you really don't want to use the traditional in-ceiling speaker. You want to get something that has a minimum of an IP64 rating. Yep. And if you're not familiar with those, there's different ratings for devices that are going to be outdoors that, you know, they need to either be sealed off from dust or they can take direct projection of water from like streams of water or something along those lines. And that's what differentiates those different ratings. Earlier we were talking about like what not to do. You put an outdoor or a traditional in-ceiling speaker outside, you're going to be replacing it in a few years because it's just going to deteriorate pretty quickly because it's just not designed to handle the humidity. Here in Tennessee, it gets humid during the spring and summer and sometimes fall and maybe even in the winter. so it's not going to be out there for very long. But the other thing is the grill. There's two parts about the grill that you put a traditional indoor speaker outside. It's going to rust and yep. or it's going to get blown away by the wind because the magnets, which most of these use nowadays, are not strong enough to handle gusts of wind. The speaker that I use most of the time, and we had Ryan on the show a few months back, is the Sonance VP-XT6 R, which is yep. their outdoor rated. They make an 8-inch too, depending on, again, the performance you're looking for. But if you look at this thing compared to the traditional speaker, it's got these huge holes around the side that actually have these high connecting magnets, very heavy duty magnets that hold that grill on. Now, it doesn't make it impossible for you to pull it off, but it makes it impossible for the wind to just blow it away. And then the baffle and everything is part of the speaker under the grill is designed to handle those elements. They actually utilize those on yachts, which I yep. think is pretty cool. I can say like, hey, I've got something outside that people put in their yachts.
Well, and I think it kind of makes sense too. You've got a beautiful location for a home. It's typically got a view, right? And you think about somebody who's building $1 million house, like, location is everything, view is everything. And what happens when you get a house on a hill, well, that wind, it quite frankly can be quite intense. So yeah, I think it's more than a real concern. I like to use Kef. I'm a huge fan of what those guys do, and I'm also happy to say that everything in their lineup is IP64 rated. So it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to spend more dollars than what you would have spent otherwise. It just means you have to pick the right thing. So it's just knowing kind of where you want to be and what you're trying to accomplish. And again, designing it the right way. What would be, and I know it's a little off topic, but what would you need to do to integrate the sound into the television? What are just and don't go crazy in depth with it, Mark, but maybe just a quick overview as to some parts and pieces that you would need if you were going to go that direction.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm probably repeating myself a little bit, but if you're building a new home and there's a place for a television outside on your porch, on your back porch, and there's a space for speakers already wired on your back porch, make sure you let whoever's doing the project for you, make sure you let them know that you want the TV audio to come through the speakers. Because otherwise, if they ran a Cat 6 to the TV location and two speaker wires, but they go to two separate places, you're going to have some work cut out for you to get that signal back to it, to where it needs to be, so you can listen to that TV sound. But in order to do that, there's a couple ways you can do it. The most common way is utilizing a device behind the television that's going to transmit audio back to wherever the amplifier is. Typically, what we'll do is we'll wire a Cat 6 from the television location outside into a cabinet in the living room just on the other side of the wall. And we'll also run the two speaker wires out there from outside into that same cabinet. So at that point, we can put a Sonos amp or an AV receiver or whatever we're going to utilize to control the sound out there. We're going to put that in that location and utilize that audio over Cat device to transmit the audio. And it uses HDMI ARC, which is pretty awesome. So yep. From a control standpoint, if you're not using a control system, the volume on the TV remote when you're outside works flawlessly and controls the amp inside if you're using ARC, which is, like I said, pretty awesome.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the other way to think about it is, instead of sending the audio backwards, right, especially if you have a chance to plan it out, and again, from a new build perspective, well, mm-hmm. maybe if you put a receiver and an HDMI extender, you can send that video forward, mm-hmm. right? And you can put your cable box or Apple TV or, whatever it is that you want on the inside in that cabinet in the living room, and then just send the video forward. And I think that ends up, being just a more elegant solution. I don't know how else to describe it. I just think it's a better way of doing that, because you end up with a better receiver, typically speaking, mm-hmm. in that situation. And that means that you can go to either a true surround or a multi-channel stereo. And I think that's how most people are going to do it, multi-channel stereo. So you're going to get a bigger amplifier. You're going to be able to power 4 or 6 speakers, and you're mm-hmm. still going to be able to make sure it's perfectly lined up and synced with the TV that's over the fireplace or on the wall or wherever it happens to be. So thanks yep. for taking a detour, man, because I cannot tell you the number of times you walk out and you just scratch your head going I don't know what we're going to be able to do, because you've bricked the fireplace and or it's stoned or
yep.
and you're I can't do anything because there's maybe a coax or power or maybe not even that, and you're going, I don't know what we're going to do here.
Yep. And they don't have attic or crawl space. It's a slab and no attic.
Yeah,
that's where it becomes tricky, but we've made it work.
Yeah. Make it work is when you have to,
but you shouldn't have to make it work. Right. That's the point of our show, right? We need to plan.
That's it. So let's transition. So you've got that screened in porch, and it's a very common design right now where, you step out, right? Either there's a nice little, 3 or 4 steps or whatever it is, and that opens up into the pool area. So what would you do for audio that would be in either a pool area, or maybe you've got a dedicated grilling section or a smoker or things along those lines? What are you going to, go that direction? Because now you don't really have a place for a speaker. You're really truly out in the elements at that point. And we have no ceiling, no wall, nothing to attach anything to. So where do you go in that kind of a situation?
Sure. So this is one of my favorite things that we install still to this day. There's a couple of manufacturers that make landscape speakers. So what we mean by that is I mean, you can say landscape. They can go pretty much anywhere. They look like landscape lights, which is really kind of where they get their name. So instead of having one or two like we did up on, you know, those traditional, you know, surface mounted speakers, we'll have a perimeter of speakers around our space. So around the pool or around that fire pit or grilling area, and maybe we can even zone it out, right? But you would have typically one speaker for every 6 to 8 feet, depending on the performance level of speaker that you've chosen, and they're facing in towards your area. What does that do for you? It keeps the sound in your space. You don't have to turn it up as loud to fill that space. But if you do turn it up a little bit louder, because they're so directional, if you jump on the other side, you have a pretty significant dB drop off just because of the way they're designed. Now, if you turn them up to 100, they're going to reflect off your house and anyone can hear it. But the point is that, again, you don't have to turn it up really loud in order to get that deep, rich bass and the, you know, clean, crisp highs that you would expect out of, you know, any sound system. And when I say it's one of the coolest things that we install, like truly it is. So you change the way that you use your outdoor space when you have these in your space.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. And, you know, I always tell people it's kind of like the old Bose trick, you know, from a design or a strategy perspective. I mean, everybody remembers you go to the Bose store back in the day and, you know, you see these tiny little speakers in the corners and some guy walks over and he like plugs in the subwoofer and all of a sudden there's no bass at all. And, you know, he takes it out and all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at this great, amazing sound. And, you know, while part of that was parlor trick, I thought it was, quite frankly, really good design. You know, thinking about having a centralized sub with satellite speakers, right, that are going to be able to produce the evenness of coverage, because bass frequencies, as we just talked about last week, very long, very wide. Well, you take those things outside and you've got a beautiful wide open space, right, off of a pool, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you're going to be able to cover quite a bit of space with one subwoofer, maybe two, depending on the size. So again, going to those satellites, now we don't have to turn it up as loud. Now we get to have a clean, clear sound. And if you want to have, you know, a house party and you want to, you know, have the neighbors, you know, come over because they're like, what's going on over there? We can do that too. So what would be the thing if you wanted to get better bass response out of one of the subwoofers, how would you do that? What would be the thing you upgrade to get there?
Sure. So those systems typically have a couple of different options for how they're powered. But if this is kind of the way you're going, and correct me if you're not, Dan, but I'm thinking, and I've typically done this before, do a more powerful amp for the entire system, or a dedicated amplifier for that sub that daisy chains off of the main amp. Is that kind of where you were going?
Because that's 1,000%. We didn't even talk about this before.
No, we didn't.
It's amazing. I just want to make sure. It's like, you know what you're doing. It's great.
Kind of. I tell myself that anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Well, no, it is. It's an outdoor. You need another amplifier, right? We often get stuck. And this is why I asked the question, right? Because if you have 6 speakers in a subwoofer, 8 speakers, 12 speakers, right? And you've got, let's say, a 70 by 40 foot pool. I mean, that's not a small space to cover. And I've seen folks try and run that on a zone 2 off of a receiver, right? And this is something that I encountered the other day. That's why I'm bringing it up, because I'm sitting there in the back of my mind going, what you need is a 1500 watt or, you know, 1,000 watt or whatever 70 volt style amplifier that's going to kick out the correct amount of power for that kind of a system. And when you don't design it right, then what happens is it doesn't perform well. When it doesn't perform well, then you've wasted your money. And everybody always makes the same argument. I don't know why this is. I think it's just because you get pot committed and you go, oh, okay, well, that's what it is. But everyone says, oh, he's a really good guy, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think he really knew what he was doing in this particular case, right? I've heard that line a 1,000 times. It's like, quit, just let's do it right the first time. And quite frankly, you know, doing it right may mean doing it differently than what you originally anticipated. Just because someone says, oh, yeah, I could do that, doesn't mean that you should do that. And you need an amp that's going to drive those things the right way. So,
yep.
From a technical perspective, what's the difference between a 70 volt and an 8 ohm? Like I mentioned it, teased a little bit, but what's really going on for ohms? And if it's too technical, then don't worry about it. But I think we can do this.
I mean, 70 volts really, really straightforward. So, you know, I probably should have prefaced this when we started talking about the outdoor audio, but the main advantage to some of the mid-tier and higher level ones, especially, is that they run on 70 volt amplifiers. So what that means is, rather than having, let's say I have a huge backyard and I've got 16 speakers and two subs that I put outside. Well, I know immediately someone in the back of their head's like, I've got to dig 18 trenches to each one to each of these speakers. No, you only have to run one wire along the line of your speaker. So along that perimeter, we run one wire, and it's a four conductor, 14 gauge direct burial wire. And you just daisy chain left to right, left to right, left to right, and till you get to the end. Now your amplifier is going to dictate how many speakers you can do that and the overall distance that your runs are, but it becomes a much easier solution to add to any space compared to, like rock speakers, which typically were 8 ohm speakers. You could do 2 to 4 of them typically on most traditional receivers, because most receivers really aren't, 4 ohm stable. They'll be able to handle a doubling up on speakers, as long as you're not, you know, depending on the wattage output, as long as you're not cranking it, right?
Yep. As I say, unless you turn it up all the way.
Yeah, as long as you're not cranking it out there. But, you know, 8 ohms, the nice thing is that some of these speakers have an 8 ohm tap on them, so you can actually change it between a 70 volt to an 8 ohm. So if you, you want that same look, but maybe you're just going to have 2 or 4 additional speakers in some landscaping next to the fire pit, you can switch those over to 8 ohm and get and use an amplifier that maybe doesn't need to be as powerful to drive those, which is actually pretty nice. But by and large, you're not going to put on 16 or 18 speakers onto an 8 ohm amplifier, because you won't get anything out of it after, you know, a certain volume level. That's, you may not correct. Get anything out of it at all, honestly. Not that much, but.
And you turn it on, and like there's just a poof, yep. Puff of smoke.
It gives up.
It just says, gives up the ghost, you.
As a colleague of ours says.
Oh, awesome. That's so good. So hilarious. Well, and listen, there are some designs. I was at a place about 3 months ago, beautiful home. And the way the outdoor was designed is you've had kind of a small screened in porch. And they went from, you know, one small area to another small area to another small area, very garden esque kind of an outdoor space. And the landscaping really did kind of come in at you. So there was really only a couple of chairs, a seating, a little table between them. So it's really designed for the two of them to husband and wife to really just enjoy the view and, you know, hang out at night and listen to music. And then you go around a corner and there's another little area, and then you go around again and there's another, and that kind of a situation. It's like, you know, I understand the concept maybe to run 70 volt, because you're saying we could daisy chain all these speakers together and that would be fantastic. But if you were to use those spaces in on an individual basis, then maybe I don't want that. So maybe running a pair of speaker wire to each area is the right design. Okay. And that's why I think they have those, you know, 8 ohm taps on them, is because you might be looking at a space going, I need it to do this, right? And, or you might be looking at it saying, I need it to do that. And this is the whole point of working with your designer, work with your integrator, and maybe think through how you're going to use some of those spaces. And that's going to then dictate the type of technology that's really going to make the most sense. So, what if I want to be super, super, super awesome and weird at the same time, and I want to have an 8-ohm amplifier, and I also want to have a landscape style system. Who on earth would do something as insane and as awesome as that?
When you say who, you mean manufacturer? Who?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good. So we've got a couple. Sonance is the big one. We have a special kit that we sell that is actually powered by a Sonos amp, believe it or not, which is an 8-ohm amp. It is not 70 volt. And it is a 6.1 package. And it retails like $2,700, and we sold it for like $1,300 during the holidays. It's nuts. But it is a, the speakers themselves are not 8-ohm speakers, but the way that once you connect all six of them in the sub, the amplifier actually views them as an 8-ohm speaker, even though they're not. It's actually a pretty awesome twist on speaker technology. And Martin Logan has one as well. It's their foundation, I think is what it is. It's an 8.1. It's like $3,000. But you can hook up any 8-ohm receiver to it. So, you know, traditionally we would, if you were talking that Sonance kit, you're talking about spending, you know, $1,000 to $2,500 on just the amplifier itself. So that's a pretty good chunk of change. But if this is a smaller space and you're just trying to get some really good sound out there, the kit from Sonance that we sell, the Martin Logan, and I'm sure we've got other brands, so not to disparage any of our other vendors that listen to us. But those are probably the top two that I know you and I have utilized most.
Well, and I like them too. I mean, you mentioned, you know, smaller space, great for porches. You know, great for, you know, that front porch where you want to sit out and you're going to see the neighbors, and that's okay. That's part of the experience. You know, we've got some subdivisions here where, you know, the houses are pretty close together, pretty tightly packed. And this is a great way for us to be able to get, you know, that wire out through the crawl space. You pop up some surface mount speakers, you put them in the corners. I mean, it really does an excellent, excellent and amazing job. And I definitely would recommend that, you know, and I would say this too, we want to do things the right way, but you should be in charge of that performance level as the client, right? So make sure that you're just working with your designer, have that conversation up front, say, hey, you know, this is what we're trying to do, right? And let's find the best way to get there. And you know, the thing about sound is that you really do get what you pay for. I cannot stress this enough. I mean, there are some levels that you get to, all right, six figure systems. All right. There's probably a lot more going on there than people probably care to mention. But for this level, when we're talking about outdoor, you know, if you spend $5,000 on a system, you spend $10,000 on a system, you're going to get twice the sound. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, you get what you pay for. And it doesn't mean that the $5,000 doesn't sound good. It just means that the $10,000 sounds better. So, like, just understand, like, there's no cheat. There's no game. It's like, no, you get better drivers. You get better crossovers. You get, you know, typically more power, like we've talked about before. I mean, that's where those budget dollars are going, is to make sure that this stuff works the way it's supposed to. So.
Yep.
So if there was anything else, would there be any wireless option that you would even consider now that we've kind of talked through all of these? Somebody comes back and says, I just cannot run a wire. What do you do in that situation?
Sure. Usually you're talking something portable at that point. So there's a lot of different options. You know, our first one is if you wanted to integrate with the rest of your system, you know, speakers from like Sonos, like the Move or the Roam, those are great little options. I utilize the Move on my front porch quite a bit when I'm out washing my car. My wife's out washing her car. What's really become popular are those dedicated Bluetooth speakers, but not like the traditional, you know, small ones, but the big party boxes is the best way. So JBL, my wife has one. We take it to the horses all the time. We use it for karaoke. You can hook microphones to it. So now it's not something that, that one you could actually leave outside, but you couldn't like submerge it in water or anything like that. But it is designed to be outdoors. So if you're going to have something and it's just, you can't run a wire, something like that, an all-in-one solution is your best bet with Bluetooth that's going to play from your device directly.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of the reason why I bring it up is because you have to recognize it's portable. If I'm going to go wireless, that's great. You ain't leaving it outside. It's got to be a question of, you know, a little personal responsibility. I got to take it out. I got to bring it in. And if that's part of the conversation, then fantastic. But if it's not, then, you got to really look more at a more traditionally designed and well-designed system. So,
yep. And you can spend, there's like thousands of dollars of those speakers out there now, like not, they're not $200. They're, $500, $800 for some of those. I know even Samsung's got into it where they've got one that two of them can connect together, kind of like a traditional PA system. So, yep. Their companies see that, you may live in an apartment or something along those lines, and you have like a common area where you want to hang out with your friends. That's a great option to carry over and sometimes wheel out to that space so you can have that music, have that fun, but then bring it back in when you're done.
Well, and we used to do all the time growing up family reunions. And I don't know if anybody does this anymore. Hopefully you do, but it's one of those things where we would find a park and, we'd go, somebody shows up real early to kind of reserve one of those, areas. And, my uncle used to come all the time with a portable stereo and make sure that we could have some music going and, people could dance and party and have a good time and all that kind of stuff. So definitely do think that there's a great usage for it, but you got to be willing to put in the work.
Exactly. For sure.
To every time you want to use that thing. So
I had an uncle too, man. He do the same thing. He actually had a karaoke, like a full on karaoke system too. Like he'd bring like 1,000 CDs with him and set this thing up everywhere we went. And it was cool. But it's like, man, I don't know how you do it to all these things. But that was his job. Like he had retired. He was a retired electrician and he just went around to bars and took tips from doing karaoke. So that was pretty cool.
Oh my goodness. Everybody's got a crazy uncle. Everyone. I don't know anyone. All right. We've gotten off track and that's all right.
That's all good.
So I guess with that, I will say thank you for listening to The Sound of Design
with Mark
and Dan. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Share with your friends. Share with your crazy uncle. Let everybody know all the things that you got to know when it comes to custom technology. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you guys on the next episode.
See ya.